This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, June 23rd, 2021. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Hello, good morning.
What's up, Bish Bucks?
Hey, what's up?
And Eric Bickle.
Morning, Rickies.
Running the three-man show. Had some technical difficulties on the TV side this morning as my laptop fell on the streets, and it turns out that my mouse, which I actually need for this laptop, got destroyed. So we'll have to figure out a
situation. What is it? You're scrambling for a mouse?
Yeah, he's got no batteries for his mouse.
Well, it's not even the batteries. I don't have the top of the mouse anymore. Yeah. It must be underneath my SUV.
Oh, my God.
I was carrying like 80 records here to give to Valdez, who's going to hawk the records from my mom's house. Right. And the laptop just slid and fell. It turned on, but now it's just stuck on a certain screen.
All right, so you're Zoomless today.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's all right. We'll survive.
It's fine.
We're going to be Zoomless the whole day?
No, we might figure it out.
It's fine, but, you know, there are ways you could solve that issue, but it's fine.
Right, you sound very nasally, EB.
Always. That time of year.
Yeah, I got a headache.
Also, when I drink coffee, I think it makes me blow my nose. I don't know if that happens to you guys. It's like a weird thing.
I don't drink coffee, so.
I don't drink coffee either.
I have to blow my nose a lot, but it's not because of coffee.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Got a lot to get into on the show today. Today, our pal Howard Eskin is going to join us at 8 to talk all things Philly. He had some interesting questions for Daryl Morey yesterday. He'll join us at 8, talk about Ben Simmons and the NBA playoffs. At 9 o'clock, you don't want to miss it. It's Mike Rizzo, GM, President of Baseball Ops of the Washington Nationals. And obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Max Scherzer situation. We're going to save that for the next segment.
That was riveting television.
We'll get into Max and what Major League Baseball is trying to do with the crackdown on foreign substances and Joe Girardi and all of that. We'll get into that shortly.
Yeah.
But I woke up this morning and I saw that the Suns won an alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton.
I saw that too. And we told Drabby to put the entire nut, 8,800, on the Suns' money line, but he didn't do it. I don't know what he did. I
hope you listen. That would have been a sweat.
I hope you listened to me. My FanDuel spot yesterday, I told you to take the clips plus the 5.
You did say that, and I did not do that, but I did do something very dumb.
Oh, what'd you do?
And we don't need a daily recap of my bets.
But I love it.
Why not?
Well, I did almost, I did it like a 6-game parlay, same game parlay.
Nice.
Which is a lot of fun, same game.
Yeah.
But I got a text from my buddy Nick like moments before a hockey game that I didn't even know was being played.
Yeah.
And he said, dude, Vegas is going to smoke the Canadians.
Oh, they
goal and a half, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I didn't even know these teams were playing. And I said, whatever, I'll put $100 on it.
Right. Loser.
Okay. I bet it from my personal account on accident.
Oh.
My personal account, which had $200 in it. I nearly felt it last night. They lost by 1,000 goals.
Meanwhile, you've been nickel and diming that account for years.
Yes. I'm so bitter.
Yeah, they lost 4-1. That's interesting because how did you How did you botch that one?
Because it's so,
were you rushing it?
I have both accounts,
accounts
on FanDuel.
Yeah, yeah.
And you log in with your fingerprint. And I botched it.
Okay. Well, there's always tonight, my friend. Yeah. There's always tonight.
You know what's interesting about Ayton hitting the game winner? I mean, it's alley-oop. It's hard to say hitting a game winner. But if you look at his numbers, he put up good numbers, and he's been pretty good.
Yeah,
and if you
really
look back
good.
At that draft, you would say, well, Luka should have gone number one. But Trey Young, and DeAndre Ayton are making a case that they're right there with Luka.
Yeah.
I still would put Luka number one.
Yeah, of course.
But Luka hasn't gotten out of the first round.
Yeah.
Trey Young and DeAndre Ayton are in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals, respectively. So I don't know that Phoenix is regretting their choice of DeAndre Ayton. He brings something different than Luka. Luka's a ball-dominant guy who obviously can score, but can pass. And DeAndre Ayton can give you low-post defense, clearly can score a little.
Yeah.
Not a ton. He's not a 30-point-a-game guy, but gets you rebounds,
gets you block shots. But he's a 17-18-point-a guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he had 24 last night and 14 boards. And like you said, the game winner. Paul George misses two free throws with 9 seconds to go that would have put him up three. So they had a point lead.
Did he miss them back-to-back?
Oh, yeah. He missed both.
He's a really good free throw shooter.
That's a shame, too, because everybody's been jocking Paul George lately for stepping up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that. I watched most of that game last night. I don't understand how Phoenix can find guys like Cameron Payne,
and he goes out and balls.
Who literally was like bouncing around. He played in China like 2 years ago, D League, and he comes into a playoff game where they don't have CP3, and he dominates.
He balls out. Yeah, look at that.
I mean, the depth that Phoenix has and that they've been able to find is frustrating. We got a bunch of scrubs coming off the bench in D.C. here.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're so deep.
Payne's been solid, but sometimes these guys will pop up. Like that guy Terrence Mann, who
scored
almost 40 points in Game 7. He's vanished since.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, that's happened, but you only need the one game, right? You only have that one guy to step up in one game like Cameron Payne did last night.
Because Booker didn't do that much last night.
No, he got pummeled in the nose. You see, he looked like his nose was broken.
Yeah, yeah, big gash.
I mean, it was so swollen. Was it Beverly who hit him?
Yeah, they just collided head to head.
And then after the game, did you see Beverly push Booker? Booker went up
to Beverly.
I don't know what Booker said to Beverly, but Beverly just pushed him. And you know, I guess they were reviewing the play to see if it was basket interference. Mm-hmm. They clearly called it good. Phoenix wins 104-103. But Paul George, you got to be lucky too, because I don't know what Paul George shoots from the line. But he missed five free throws last night.
It's got to be high 80s. He's a really good free throw shooter.
Yeah, I mean, and he missed back-to-backers. You just got to get lucky.
Happens. Didn't it happen to you in high school?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're up 2-0.
Yeah, I would have never picked the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
it's not a guarantee 86%. They're going to get to the finals.
87%.
I never would have picked the Phoenix Suns to get to the NBA finals. Like if you started the play, you know, if we went back and you saw Lakers, Clippers, and the top teams in the West, Utah. I mean, even though Phoenix, I guess, had the second-best record.
Yeah, I mean, he had 51 wins.
Did you guys have any idea that there's no basket interference on an inbound pass?
No. What were they reviewing then?
It sure looked like that to me.
Maybe that he got it off in time? Because that's what everybody was pointing at. Like, Paul George is pointing at...
Yeah. I thought that they were reviewing the basket interference, but they weren't.
No, because that's what I thought. But then everyone this morning and last night was saying, that's not a rule. You can basically grab it out of the net.
Okay, I didn't know that. Wow. Well, it was very interesting when I woke up this morning and saw that, because I didn't watch much of it. The only thing I watched last night was the Nats. But 2-0, going back to L.A. for Game 3, who knows about Kawhi? Who knows about CP3? But, man, that's a great finish.
Now, I guess they said he has a sprained knee.
Yeah, it's a knee.
So there were reports that maybe it was an ACL, but... You would think they would be a little more specific. Like, did he sprain his MCL? There's been nothing about Kawhi Leonard and his injury.
They've been quiet. Well, they certainly need him.
Oh, I'm sure that's on purpose.
They certainly need him, right? But
although they're right there, and this, you know, they've been down 2-0 in each of the series. So they've been there. They're comfortable. They're down 2-0. It was a close game. It's not like they're getting blown out by the Suns, but CP3 probably will come back soon. Which should make the Suns better.
Monty Williams was talking about the play that they drew up last night, on that inbounds from Booker to Ayton, and he said he learned it from Brett Brown, the former Sixers coach. Mm. He said, yeah, that's something that he always liked to draw up at end of game. So, but you're right, Cameron.
But you have
Cameron
to have
Payne,
a guy who's like 7 feet
tall. Well, you
got to
have, of course, yeah, and you have to have a perfect pass,
right?
Because that's not an easy pass with .9 to go.
Now, so the Suns 2-0 lead. Tonight you have game one of the Bucks-Hawks series. That's where I believe Drab should throw all his money on the Bucks to win the series.
No, he's not betting all his money. The guy, his partner, doesn't want that. He made it clear.
He would have been happy this morning if he did on the Suns' money line.
He doesn't want just a one-game sweat.
But I guarantee you, if he would have placed that bet last night, Ayton would have missed it or dropped it.
Probably.
Booker's pass would have been bad.
The Suns' money line was -200. They won with under a second.
I'm confused. Why are you not hyping up? You gave out your Clips +5 or 5.5.
I know. I did. I know. No one listens.
Well,
no one
why listens. Are you hyping up the Suns? Because if you lose, it's 2-1. I know. It's even money on the Clips.
Yeah. I know. I don't know. Just because we were talking about he liked the Suns. That was his vibe. Yesterday during the show. I'll pick you a fatty tonight.
How did you do on your same game parlay? How many did you get correct?
Oh, like maybe 4. But they're all close because I didn't take any like big reaches.
That's fine. I've seen guys go with like 5 or 6 or 7 money lines and guys hit them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
I should have bet on the draft lottery last night. That was
why?
Well, because it's I don't know. I get a I guess get size.
What were the odds for the Pistons to get to number one?
Well,
they
14%. Yeah, 14%.
The top three teams at 14, right?
Because it's a complete guessing game. It's just stupid how some teams can move up. And my buddy Marcel, my neighbor, is a huge Rockets fan. He's from Houston. Uh-huh. I've never seen somebody so nervous because they completely tanked, traded everything away. They have nothing, and if they didn't land in the top 4 picks. It was going to Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And they would have just been completely screwed forever, you know, for the next 10 years without a franchise player.
Oklahoma City has 17 first-round picks in the next 7 years.
That's crazy. Do they have 3 in this draft or 2? They got number 6, and they've got number, I think they've got 6 and 16.
It's just weird not having the Wizards in it. I kind of miss it.
What, being in the lottery?
Just
missed the sweat.
So Oklahoma City's got 6, 16, and 18.
Yeah, 3 picks this year.
Now,
I mean, they acquired
16 and 18 are dicey. 6 is dicey.
They acquired a ton of those picks in the Paul George deal and I guess in a Chris Paul deal.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It must have been some sort of a
three-way. They've just got a ton of draft picks in the next 7 years.
Yeah, Detroit number one. They'll take Cade Cunningham probably out of Okie State.
And they just took Killian Hayes, the point guard, last year.
I find that draft lottery so awkward, though, because, you know, they'll introduce the luminaries, and they have nothing to say. Hakeem Olajuwon has nothing to say. You know, Ben Wallace was representing the Wizards. At least he did kind of a
fist
bump.
They just smile, right? Don't they just smile?
Yeah, you had the one lady, I can't remember which team, I think it was the Pelicans. She actually had kind of the sad face. That went viral, EB.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Van Fleet looked like he was a hostage. Oh, yeah. It was so bad.
Did he really?
Well, he was like doing it from the corner of his house. It looked like, he's got his big shaggy beard and he's just in the corner of his house with his blinds in the back. It just looks so nubs.
He looked so disinterested.
That's the last thing he wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But I saw
everybody was on Zoom when they did it. Oh, that's terrible.
No, not everybody. Like Akeem had a good camera and everything. I think Ben Wallace did. Fleet was weird, but, I saw Wizards fans were upset because Toronto is kind of where the Wizards may have been if they didn't make the playoff push.
Yeah.
Now they got a top 4 pick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the argument, but you like it when it's happening. But who knows?
The lotto. Yeah, I didn't watch any of that.
Yeah, but when they said that Detroit, I don't think it had a first pick overall since Bob Lanier.
Really?
That goes back to like the 60s. Yeah. The Wizards have had their crack at number one picks. They blew it with Kwame Brown, hit it with John Wall to an extent.
Yeah.
That was a hit.
Yeah, it's a hit.
Well, I don't
Maybe
know.
You expected a little
I don't
more.
Know how many can't misses you have in the draft this year. I mean, but Cunningham is really good. I mean, he's tall. He can handle it. He's a point guard. He can shoot. You know, he's a good passer. So he's clearly going to be the number one pick.
All right, I mentioned that we're going to have Mike Rizzo on at 9 o'clock, and you don't want to miss it, based on the drama in the game yesterday. Max Scherzer came back.
Yeah.
We'd heard, little birdie had told us that Max was going to pitch last night, came off the injured list, and he was Max, except they interrupted him multiple times because of the new rule. We'll get into that next here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. So we spent some time the last couple days talking about how the Nationals have gotten hot and they're creeping back into the NL East standings.
Yep.
They're inching towards 500. And they've been doing it without Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg. And we were wondering when Max was going to come back. We talked about it yesterday. We knew he was eligible to come off the injured list. And sure enough, he came back and he pitched very well, but the game and the result, that's not the big topic. It's what happened during the game with Max and the new enforcement of the rule where they're trying to eliminate foreign substances used by pitchers and Major League Baseball. And it just seemed to get out of hand yesterday with Girardi asking the umpires to check him a third time.
Yeah. Well, when you see, you know, and we're going to go through the audio, I know, but when you see the explanation afterward, it does make sense. Now, I blame MLB for this completely, and I said it at the time. Implementing this mid-season is crazy, and it's a mistake. And this is what you have now, a circus. And this is going to keep happening.
Yeah.
I also, my take, I mean, listen, I'm Team Max all the way. Love that guy. And I think even Tom Lavero tweeted last night after Max was just kind of showing up Girardi, just, you know, you know, as he was
riveting,
being checked.
It was riveting.
Riveting.
Yeah, yeah.
As he was being checked repeatedly, Lavero goes, he's got to stay. He's got to retire in Washington. I mean, that guy's the heart and soul of this team, right?
Yeah.
But I also felt a little sympathy for Girardi because I like Girardi. We've had him on the show before. You've seen him interviewed a million times. I think he's a classy guy. I think, you know, it got crazy. He got caught up in a moment. You shouldn't challenge him to a fight, but guys get heated. But, you know, to me, it makes sense what he said that, you know, Max was doing whatever he could to compensate and I guess was going to his hair to get sweat because he didn't want to taste the rosin, which I get. And Girardi said, look, I've been watching this guy since 2010. I know him as well as anybody in baseball. He was going to his hair more than I've ever seen before.
Well,
had a question. And I get it.
The background, too, is, and we talked about this last week, that one guy that worked in the clubhouse who outed a bunch of baseball players for using the sticky stuff, he mentioned Scherzer. And he mentioned, you know, Verlander, back to like when they were pitching together with the Tigers.
Because they all were using it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You'd have to be an idiot knowing that today's the day when they really start the crackdown to use it.
Well, is Max Scherzer going to risk an ejection and a 10-game suspension when they're pitching in a huge, almost a must-win game when they're trying to catch the Mets? He's not going to do that. So it makes all the sense in the world that he was going to his head because he had almost just killed Alex Bohm.
Yeah, it all makes sense. But it also makes sense why Girardi was curious, right?
But I didn't know that the managers could ask the umps to check the pitcher.
Uh-huh.
That should be all on the umps' discretion. I don't think that the manager should have any input.
Well, remember I told you that, Dusty said...
Why?
Because if you're a manager, maybe an umpire doesn't see something. And if you're a manager and you see something...
There's four of them out there. They got to see it, and they're watching it. They've got to see it.
But managers have always been able to indicate something like that, I think.
I know, but I don't think that with this new rule they should be able to, because managers could ask him to check 8 times.
Yeah, well, that comes back. What goes around comes around, right? So that'll come back to haunt you, which is what Dusty's point was, why he's not going to be involved.
Right.
I thought that the back and forth between Max as he's walking off the mound, because he knew he wasn't coming back into the game, into the sixth, and Girardi says, come on, let's go. I mean, it was just, it was fun to watch. And, I'm Team Max too, and I totally understand why he said it was going to his head, because he said he couldn't grip the ball.
I understand all of it.
Yeah.
I understand why Max did what he did, and I understand why Joe was suspicious.
All right, let's go to some of the audio. This is the first time they checked on Max during the game.
Well, Max Scherzer struck out the side of the Phillies at the bottom of the first inning. Then as he walked off the field toward the dugout, the home plate umpire, Tim Timmons, was coming over. Max held his arms out, held his glove out, then took his hat off, and then started to walk away when Alfonso Marquez still had his glove.
All I can think of, Charlie, is the guy who gets pulled out of the TSA line at the airport and is just steamed. He didn't say a word. You could just see he wanted no part of that process. He's been outspoken about what he thinks should be done, and that's not it.
But that was just the first time.
It's a great analogy.
That's just the first time. Imagine if he's already boiling and simmering after the first time, what it is like the third time.
But now Max also has to understand that they can be checked twice a game, right? Isn't that the rule? It can be at minimum twice a game.
Right.
Wheeler was checked twice, and he just showed his stuff, and
right.
He walked off. Max has to understand that's the new rule. I understand you don't want to get checked, and it's not like they think you're guilty, but it's just part of the rule. Just do it.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to have that sarcastic face.
Well, he's annoyed because also I think it's like anything else. Now, unless this just becomes ubiquitous and every single pitcher is checked twice a game or whatever, the implication sometimes will stick with you, right? So people, you know, not only did he have that report leak out, but how many people really saw that? I don't know. But when they accuse you of something, it's like the accusation sometimes lasts longer, whether it's true or not, right?
There were different reactions. It happened throughout Major League Baseball yesterday. There was, I can't remember the name of the pitcher who basically took off like clothing yesterday.
That was Sergio Roma, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
With the A's. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like he was singled out. It just happened that it's the first time for Max. So here's the
Well,
third
to
time,
him, it felt like he was singled out. And we don't know the future yet.
Yeah, here's his reaction the third time when he kind of went nuts.
Now, Joe Girardi just goes out to the umpire, and they're calling the crew in. Now, what is this? And Scherzer's not happy about this.
Well, just after that last out, Scherzer took his hat off and rubbed the back of his head with his hand. Maybe he had an itch. He's sweating a lot.
And now Davey Martinez is coming out.
And I think they want to check Scherzer again. Scherzer just threw his hat down on the ground. Said, go ahead, check it. Check everything.
This is a little gamesmanship here by Girardi, no doubt. Davey Martinez is not happy. Max has taken off his belt now. And Max is saying, I got nothing. He's holding his hands up in surrender. And Davey is really livid right now. And now he's giving it to Girardi. And Girardi's going to come out. Davey Martinez is challenging Girardi. And Girardi's coming out to the top step. And Max is steamed right now. And he just rubbed his head again.
Yeah, he's sweating. It's hot out there.
Max just rubbed his head again, looking in at Girardi, saying, I just rubbed my head like this. Wow, this is going to be all over the highlights tonight. Davey pointed in and yelled at Girardi, and Girardi came up to the top step, ready to come out on the field. And Max clearly said, I got nothing.
Well, you're right about being total gamesmanship.
And Davey is being led off the field by Marquez, screaming at Girardi the whole way toward the dugout.
You wonder, maybe Girardi doesn't like this whole thing either and trying to make a mockery out of it, because he just did.
Yeah, this is terrible.
This is on MLB.
It is.
100%.
They should have eased into it.
You got to let them know in spring training. You got to get the guys in off season.
I think they did. I mean,
especially when it's
spring
as
training.
Pervasive as it is.
They did tell them in spring training that they were going to do this. I don't know why they waited. However many games it is, 60
They waited
games.
Till almost the friggin' midway point to make a scene of it.
Well, this is what I would say to Girardi.
They botched it.
This is what I would have said to Girardi. You, of course you haven't seen him go to his head that much, because before you could use whatever you want to get the ball. So, I mean, use your head. I mean, he's trying to get a better grip of the ball. He's a sweater. He always sweats. I mean, he's a big-time sweater. You've seen that. And he's just trying to get a better grip of the ball. And, by the way, the hit-by-pitch rate is about the same since June 3rd when this all started. Before June 3rd, the hit-by-pitch rate was whatever number it was. It's about the same. And it's so it's because they're throwing so hard, and some of these guys, they just lose it, and you're going to see it. I don't think you're going to see a change in that rate. I really don't. Now, batting averages are going up. Overall league batting average has gone up.
Shouldn't the hit-by-pitch rate go up? Because they don't have the sticky substance, they're going to lose control more.
Well, it's about the
same.
So
to me, that would be on the side of Major League Baseball. Yeah. Because the pitchers, they're claiming they need the sticky stuff to avoid hitting
the
batters.
Not hit.
And what you're saying is it's happening at the same rate. So to
hold on, JP.
No, it's only been 19
days.
But hold on.
But that could be because they're dialing it back a little bit, trying to deal, right? So in other words, part of the reason what people have said is that you use that sticky stuff, the reason why it's an advantage is you can go that extra 2 or 3% or 5% to get that extra. But now you can't do it because you can't get as good a grip on the ball. So that would make sense. Maybe the batting averages would go
possible,
up.
But it sure seems like the pitchers, including Scherzer, struck out the side. They're not dialing it back. Jacob deGrom, who comes out the other night and goes 99, 100, 100 right off the bat. I don't think he's dialing it back.
Well, there's
they
guys
might have to 5%. Maybe you don't know, but obviously Scherzer's finding a way to work with it, right? I don't even know what they're allowing, but clearly they're allowing rosin bag. It's spit. You can go to your mouth, they said, as many times as you want.
Look, I support the rule. I can't remember who we had on the show. Maybe it was Mike Rizzo himself. Mike Rizzo was okay with the rule. He said you just don't want guys to cheat. All right, so maybe cheating was accepted. Cheating was accepted, and maybe the majority of pitchers used some sort of formula, sticky stuff, whatever the heck they were using, but eliminate it, and eliminate it across the board. So I actually don't have a problem. If you want to chime in, you can at 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. What do you make of this? And it's unfortunate in a way, because Scherzer was Max, okay? He was dealing, as usual. And now I'm looking at a team, they're just two games under 500. Like, it wasn't that long ago where they were way back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That, to me, is the bigger story. Like, I know this is making all the headlines, and this is fun to talk about. Super exciting, you know, whatever. It's fun. It's a great sports topic. Yeah. But it's more important that they're in the hunt now. This is what we've been begging for. Be relevant.
And the Mets just got another injury last night. Marcus Stroman pitched one inning. He has a hip injury. He's probably going to go to the IL. They just lost Joey Lucchese. So
they're banged up.
He's going to Tommy John. He's out. You know, who knows with DeGrom? You know, every other start, he's got something going on. Now, the last start, he was really good. But they've got some serious issues.
There's been quite a few things, Jason, that are playing in the Nats' favor right now, in my opinion.
I agree.
So this is a rallying cry, right?
Yeah.
You had Schwarber just on an absolute tear, right? Bonding. They call up Parra. He's kissing guys and dancing again and baby sharking. Look, I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series by any stretch, but I like the way they're trending.
Yeah, I mean, they've cut into the lead and it's down to four. Now, the Braves and the Phillies are also, I think, identical records, but there's four games back of the Mets. We just talked about the Mets' woes, so you're right. And getting Max back last night, even though they took away whatever he was using to grip the ball before, he was still damn good. I still think that the top-of-the-line guys are still going to be really good, even if you take away whatever they'd be, you know, using.
You're talking about little, subtle little differences, I think.
Yeah, but you're talking about Hall of Famers.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. What do you make of this? Do you think it fires up the Nats even more? I mean, I don't know how Scherzer could get more fired up. Let's go to TJ in D.C., line one. TJ, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
Yeah, no, JP, I think you're absolutely right. I think it will fire up the Nats a little bit. But one of the things that I noticed following on Twitter last night was from John Boy, that guy that everyone follows on Twitter now. He pointed out that Girardi was coming out of the dugout raging, going after Kevin Long. If you look back at sort of press conferences when they were coaching together with the Yankees, he always called him K. Long. And if you look at the video, he came running out of the dugout, basically challenging Kevin Long, the hitting coach for the Nats. I was wondering what you guys thought of that.
I didn't see that.
It's hard the way they were showing it to know.
Maybe K. Long said something to Girardi, like, you know, get the back in the dugout, you MF-er. I don't know. Maybe it was probably something he was responding to K. Long about. So I didn't
I'm sure they were all talking and chirping and yelling. You saw Davey. I'm sure they all were.
Yeah.
They're defending their guys, which is why I don't get upset and everybody just wants to make Girardi out to be the worst human on earth. I mean, Girardi was defending his team and his guys. So, it is what it is.
Right, and there's probably some gamesmanship trying to, you know, break up Max's rhythm.
I that was my initial thought, but when I heard Girardi afterwards, it made sense to me what he said. That he's never seen him in his life go to his head that many times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Girardi's a catcher. He knows these guys. He knows what's going on. And to him, that was strange. So, I get it.
It's strange that, yeah. I would just use more common sense and say, hey, you know what? There's a reason he was doing it, because he's trying to get better grip of the ball, especially after what almost happened.
Well, to me, it's counterintuitive that getting sweat gives you better grip, but I guess when you mix it with the rosin, that's the whole deal.
Yeah.
That's what gives you the grip, I guess.
Well,
bunch of chemists. And then,
yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
but
for whatever reason, that's what they do.
How was his spin rate compared to the spin rate in the past? Because I know
they down.
Were analyzing it. Yeah,
spin rate's down across the league.
Right.
No, was it for Max last night too?
Yeah, I don't know, Drabby. Do you have the numbers on the spin rate? I don't know.
FanGraphs does that during the game, right?
Yeah. That's incredible.
But also, I lost track of what I was going to say. Oh, again, I'm going to go back to this. If you think Max is going to risk getting ejected from the game and getting a 10-game suspension?
No, he was probably just befuddled by it, Jason. It didn't make sense to him.
I know it didn't make sense, but there's just no way Max Scherzer...
Not on the first day.
There's no way Max Scherzer is going to go out there with Vaseline in his pocket.
In September, he might be bold enough
to
try it again.
2 days after they implemented the rule. It's just
although
not
if he
happen.
Had some silly moose back there, it's kind of brilliant.
Now, maybe we're going to see somebody get caught in the next couple of days, and they'll get ejected and they'll get suspended. Maybe we'll see that. But Max is not the type of guy that would do that.
All right, coming up next, we'll give you Girardi's reaction to what went down yesterday. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. The Nats are creeping up in the standings, only 4 games back, 2 games under 500. A couple weeks ago, we were nearly burying them, talking about trading Max Scherzer. Well, he comes back. There's some controversy last night. What do you make of it? 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington all year long, celebrating our 25th anniversary, presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org. So we've been talking about the situation last night in the game. The Nationals won 3-2, by the way. And now they're just 2 games under 500, 4 games back in the NL East.
Mm-hmm.
But Major League Baseball, they're trying to get foreign substances out of the game. The assumption that a lot of pitchers have gained an advantage in recent years by using different substances. What was it?
Spider tack. Yeah, whatever.
And different things. The clubhouse guy that came out said that he had some sort of concoction with sticky stuff and rosin and water. And so Major League Baseball is trying to eliminate that from the game. And yesterday, the umpires tried to enforce the rule, but then Joe Girardi took it to another level with the umpires coming out for a third time. Here's what Girardi said after the game about it.
I've seen Max a long time, since 2010. Obviously, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I've never seen him wipe his head like he was doing tonight, ever. Going like this, right? So it was suspicious for me. He did it about 4 or 5 times. It was suspicious. I didn't mean to offend anyone. I just got to do what's right for our club.
Does he have a reputation as a guy that might load it a little bit? Maybe you had a heads up there?
No, I didn't have any heads up. But again, like I said, I've seen Max pitch a long time, and I've never seen him do that. And that's why I did it.
And what prompted you the next inning to go on the field and basically challenge their club?
No, I wasn't challenging their club. There were some coaches that were screaming at me, right? And coaches that I know, and it bothered me, right? I mean, I'm not playing games, trying to win games here. I'm not playing games, and I have respect for the other people over there. I have respect for what Max has done in his career. But again, I got to do what's right for our team.
Joe, I guess from, can you see why the Nationals coaches might have reacted like that in the sense that, he was checked after the first, he was checked after the third, and I guess like you talked about his resume in terms of their anger towards you or
whatever. Yeah, I can see it, right? I can see it. And I don't have a problem if Davey's mad at me. I don't. But I thought they were attacking me, and that's okay too. I mean, hey, that's all part of it. But again, we're here to win games, and I'm here to do right by our team, and that's what I'm going to do.
I'm telling you, I like him. I like him. I like Joe Girardi. I'm Team Max. I'm Team Davey.
I like Girardi, too. I like
him. I always have the Nats, but I like him. I think he was just doing what he thought was right. I don't think he's a bad guy. He got heated. I think it is important to note, though, he wasn't challenging Scherzer to a fight, as people thought.
No.
The caller they called in earlier had it nailed. He and Kevin Long were getting into it a little bit there. There's previous history. It's no different than when Durant was getting into it with, who was it, P.J. Tucker or whoever it was, his old buddy.
All right, they played in Texas together.
Yeah, I mean, friends fight. That happens. So to me, it is,
And look, if Davey was doing the same thing, we'd back Davey.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Girardi.
I back Davey.
Playing mind games there. He is, because we're 2 days into this, and he's doing it three times in the middle of the game.
He was flummoxed. I'm taking him at his word.
No,
he was flummoxed.
I got to do right by my guys. He got worked up on it. He didn't care. Nobody cared 7 days ago. Now he's got to stop the game three different times.
I blame MLB for making a mockery of this whole situation. They're making the games longer
because it's some egregious sin that Max is doing. Nobody cared a week ago.
Because a week ago, it was allowed. It was an unwritten rule that was allowed. Now they're saying you're not going to allow it. So he's going to take advantage of the rule and do whatever he can to give his team an advantage. I get it.
Look, if you go out there and they do find something, if you tell the umps that you're suspicious and they find something, they do find something on Max. He's ejected. He's out 10 games. That helps you. It's strategic. But I would also say common sense has to prevail here. There's no way Max is going to risk that. Not when they're trying to catch the Mets and they're four back.
Yeah, I don't know. That wouldn't occur. I mean, I would think that pitchers wouldn't do that. But, guys go up with corked bats. Guys do stupid S all the time.
I know. They do. And I'm sure we'll find some guys that are caught.
Yeah.
Some desperate guys that are caught. But, especially when the league is really watching you now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what do you think Major League Baseball should do about it at this point? You don't want it to be a whole show like it was yesterday. It became a show.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. Like, I think they should back off. They should probably say, all right, look, we've made our point. It's like they've done this before with offensive line holding calls in the NFL. In the first 3 weeks, they call them like crazy, and then they made their point, and then they back off.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got an idea here from Max. Here's what Scherzer said. Thinks they should do moving forward, and tell me if you think you like it.
What we're doing right now, this is not the answer. I know there's been a lot of guys that I feel like there's a minority group of players here that are, have made it public about how they feel about pitchers and how what they're going about. And I completely understand there's a problem with spider attack in the game, and we got to get rid of that. But I also think there's a way to handle this in a better way. We can go to a more enhanced monitoring. Right now we have monitors in our clubhouses. For the mass police, that's what we have. And, what I've articulated, one of my solutions that I feel that would be best to handle this is to have those monitors instead of worrying about our mass, to actually be checking the pitchers in between innings. Let those guys examine what guys are, what their hands look like, what substances are they using, how is this manifesting itself, and continue to monitor the situation across the game and how guys, pitch and what they want to obviously use in their hands. And so for me, that seems to be a more pragmatic approach about how we can continue to monitor the situation, try to correct the situation before going to zero.
See, I don't even know if I like that, because now you're really getting invasive.
But I don't mind that approach. It's a pitcher who's had accusations against him giving you a solution, saying basically have a different umpire who's paying attention to that, right? So instead of the four, you got four umpires on the field, and then you got somebody that's just paying attention to that stuff.
Well, it seems,
and then
lot-
they can do that in the clubhouse. They can do that in the dugout. They could do it between innings.
He's basically inviting them to spy on him in the clubhouse.
Here's
I don't
the thing
like
is,
it.
Is that Max has more of a better logistical approach to it than what the MLB did.
That's, for sure.
I think that's the biggest takeaway from that.
For
now,
sure.
Now, being checked every inning, I can see how that can be cumbersome and how that can be annoying and everything.
And there's gamesmanship there. Like,
yeah.
It can ruin your rhythm. Like, all of a sudden, the guy strikes somebody
out.
I understand
that, but at least he has a much you know, smoother process to it than running out
on
the field.
In his way, it wouldn't slow down the game, which we all agree nobody wants.
Right. Yeah. And then even with that, you could just have a camera that's focused on the pitcher, and you can have the umpire watch the camera between innings and between pitches and everything.
Right.
And if something is suspicious, then you can do a check that's between innings.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Casey's in College Park, line two. Casey, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
What's good up, bud?
Hey, pal.
Hey, I agree with what you guys are saying generally. The MLB really messed this up. And if they're going to give the set the precedent and allow the managers to dictate whenever this is this audit is carried out, then I think they have to have some sort of risk involved as well. MLB's already allowed each team one of those replay challenges where, you know, if you think a call is wrong, you can challenge it and something like that. So if they were to, you know, the manager is going to go out there and say, hey, I want the pitcher checked, I feel like there should, at least if they were wrong, maybe lose a challenge that would impact the
I like it.
The game later on.
I think there should be something
some
like
sort of
that.
A penalty.
We do that all the time in other sports. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. It sucks that this is the biggest story in the sport now.
Yeah, I think it'll pass.
Really?
But
no, yeah. It will. But this is at four, I mean, it's all over, you know, ESPN. This is obviously we're talking about. This is the biggest story in baseball right now.
It's a great sports radio topic.
It is.
It's awesome.
It is. I know.
It's awesome. I saw that happening last night. I couldn't wait to come in here.
I know.
But mostly also because they won.
Yeah.
Them winning is making this team compelling.
Yep. And by the way, you got a 1 o'clock game today, and Fetty goes. And Fetty in his last three starts looks like Greg Maddux.
Yep.
He hasn't allowed a run in 19 innings. I don't know what got into Eric Fetty.
I know. People are ready to give up on him.
I mean, because Eric Fetty, you know, last year, the year before that, was a guy who might give you five, maybe four, give up four or five runs. But now he hasn't given up a run in his last three starts.
Sometimes it takes guys a while to figure it out. He's also just clearly on a heater.
And it's also, I'm sure it's confidence, too.
Right.
Yeah. But we'll ask,
I mean, he was a big prospect coming up. They had high expectations for him.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. Remember, coming up at 8, our pal Howard Eskin covers all things Philly to talk about Ben Simmons. He was interviewing Daryl Morey yesterday. And at 9 o'clock, you don't want to miss it, Mike Rizzo, GM of your Washington Nationals.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.